my favorite song ever. It's well with our soul when we have salvation in Jesus. It's truly well with our soul. I can't decide if I look like a See's candy lady or a or a professor. I tried. I really, really tried. Okay, so I got assigned Wisdom in Love. Wisdom in Love. And now you are in course 500, which is like the mega top master's program, right? Yes. You have gone through 101, 202, 301, I don't know. You've gone through quite a few. And that really just speaks of the foundation of Christianity, right? We're constantly learning. And the one point that I do want to make is that even though we're in course 500, which is a master's program, we will never hit our master's program until we see our master. We will never hit it until we see our master. So we're always learning in our Christian walk. So you get to graduate after this class, and you're going to get a diploma. So nice. So far, we have learned in the book of Proverbs about so many things, about what it means to love our husbands. That just kept coming up and coming up, and we know that's by the hand of the Lord. What it means to love our friends, you know, what that looks like practically, to forgive, right, and to cover offenses, those kinds of things. Proverbs also talks about practically what it looks like not to love. Like, why will you continue to love in your simple ways? Don't love your simple ways. Remember, Jackie talked about that. As wisdom is pleading with us, wisdom is pleading with us in the beginning of Proverbs, don't love your simple ways. Follow me. Come this way. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. Don't follow those people. Don't go that way. Don't love your own ways. Follow my ways. Follow my wisdom. It also talked about love in the essence of what that looks like between love and lust, right? It talked about a lot in chapter, I believe it's 5 of Proverbs, that what adultery looks like in the life of somebody, and don't follow that. It says, don't go near her door. Don't listen to the honey of her lips. So it separates love and lust in Proverbs 2, right? And so it also talks about, and this one hit me hard when it comes to love in Proverbs, don't love sleep. don't love slothfulness, right? Not that I'm a sloth or that I'm really lazy, but I'm a procrastinator, and Scott knows that. he just got the list today, okay? So, of my scriptures, but the Proverbs talk about procrastination and laziness. It's like this real amazing book of the instruction of life. It's like everything's in there. It's the instruction of life, which just is so very different from all the other books of the Bible, but they're just these quick instructions all the way through. And Joni talked about every day she reads them. And I just recently did that. I mean, that's kind of, you know, hard to say. I recently just went 31 days through the entire book of Proverbs. And there's times where I'll just read the Proverbs and I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. Okay, what does he mean by that? Never mind, I'm gonna go to the New Testament, right? And I'll just tend to go to the New Testament instead of stay in the Old Testament. Just where I love to be. But going through the Proverbs seriously has rocked my world. Really rocked my world. I mean, there's things that I was doing on a daily basis, and I'm like, boink, you know, there's a proverb, right? So I really do encourage you guys, this is not just, you know, Christianese stuff. Go through the Proverbs, you know, go day one, day two. No, it changes your life. It changes your life. Read it from the very beginning when you get up in the morning, and then at night, read it again, and you're going to get a whole different other verse is going to pop out of you. So we're going to talk about love. And like I said, there's so much about love. when it comes to the Bible, the Old Testament to the New Testament. You know, Ephesians talks about how to love your husband, and Philippians, and what does love look like? It's kind, it's patient, it's full of self-control. You know, that's a fruit of the spirits, but it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We know that. We probably have a plaque in our house or something about that. But when it comes to love in the book of Proverbs, it speaks of Jesus. It speaks of his word. And it talks about the love of God. And so only two real proverbs stuck out to me, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But I was having such a hard time with, well, love. I mean, we could go on forever about love in the book of Proverbs. And in the midst of me studying for this retreat, I took my son to college out of state, okay? And, oh gosh, I don't even know. It was painful. There was a separation there that had never been there before. And the love that I have for this kid, I have three kids, but the love that we have for our kids, oh my gosh, it was incredible. And there's pain that's involved with separating your kid, you know, you're away from them. He's in California, and I'm not going to see him, and I've never not seen him for more than a week. And just dropping him off, that was hard. There was a little bit of rejoicing. Just, yes, you know, I don't have to stay up till 2:30 and texting you, and, you know, sure, you're at Coffee Exchange, you know, that kind of thing. But I felt like the Lord was just showing me, the way you love this kid, that is just a taste of the way that I love you. Just a taste. And that love for our kids goes so deep. And you know this. And it's not just for our kids. It could be for the people in our lives. It goes so deep that you'd be willing to die for them. And there was times in my life with my kids, and this one in particular, that I was like, oh, Lord, I would just go through this pain for him. I would take it. I'll take this, Lord. I'll take the consequences. I'll take the shame. I'll take the humility, whatever these things were, whether it's school or a broken heart. I'll take it on myself. Give it to me. I'll do it. And what the Lord has shown me just in this last year is I've already done that for him, Melissa. I did that for him, and I've done it for you too. And my love towards him is so much more than you can ever know. And so that is what love is. We cannot even begin to comprehend the love that God has for us. And how do we begin to know that? It's by being in his word. It's by being in his word. So we're going to go ahead and start out by, and I share this story again, just because I found myself experiencing love in ways I hadn't seen before, in ways that I haven't felt before. And I couldn't even put a name on it because it was beyond my comprehension. It was recognizing the awness of his love. It was recognizing the depth of his love. And I didn't even completely comprehend it. And so that kind of starts me out in the New Testament, okay? But we're going to just pray really quick. So let's just bow our heads and just ask the Lord to be here with us. Oh, Father, we just want our hearts and our minds to be cleansed of anything that keeps us from seeing you as you truly are. Lord, and we ask that you would strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit to know, to comprehend the breadth, the length, the width, and the height, and the depth of your love in Jesus Christ. We want to draw close to you, and we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to pull the strings of our hearts as we close out this conference, Father, because our relationship with you does not end here in this room. We walk out the doors, and you are with us. And Father, so we long to respond to you, and we draw ourselves near to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, turn with me to Ephesians 3:14. Ephesians 3:14, and literally get out your Bible. Don't pack it up. You're not, you know, the conference isn't done yet. Get your Bible out. Get your pens out, highlighters, all of that good stuff. And if you don't write in your Bible, start writing in your Bible today, okay? Flower it, heart it. I think I tell you guys this all the time. You can go back in the Word and see what God spoke to you last year if you wrote in your Bible. So just write in your Bible, get your pens out, steal a pen from your neighbor, and turn to Ephesians 3:14. Do we have that verse? No? Maybe because I sent it at 7:30. Oh. Nice. Okay. Ephesians 3:14. And you're going to underline some stuff. We're going to dive into this verse. It's amazing. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Now, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened. Paul's asking us, Paul is praying on behalf of us to God the Father, that we would be strengthened, granted strength in the power of the Holy Spirit in your inner core being. He wants us to know in our inner core being that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and this is it, you're going to start underlining, that you, being grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints, with all of us, what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Is that amazing? This is really about the Holy Spirit giving you a gift, granting you a gift of strength to begin to understand and comprehend the absolute crazy, crazy love that God has for you. It's just crazy, and it's beyond all knowledge, and it's just mind-blowing here because Paul is saying, I want us, I want all of you, and he's praying this back then, and it applies to us now. Here in this room, he wants us to know and to comprehend the love of God that surpasses all understanding. He's talking about the strength and power of our inner being. He wants us to know, and if you can see that in your verse, he says, to our core, to our inner being, he wants us to know this, that he gives it to us so that we can know and understand the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge. So how do we know his love? We know him by his word. We know him by his word. And that's what we've been doing this entire time this weekend, is opening up his word to know him, to know what he wants to say to us, to know what he's going to instruct us to do. Teach us. He doesn't say, okay, know me and then figure it out. You know, figure it out. Just, you know, figure it out on your own. He says, know me, know my word, because this is where I am. And I will instruct you. I will encourage you. I will show you who I am by my word. So let's turn to our first proverb, and that takes me to my first point that says, whom do we love? Who is it that you love when it comes to God? Do you really know who he is? And so sometimes we need to remind ourselves of his grandeur. We need to remind ourselves of his awness. And so I'm going to take you to Proverbs 1:7. And Jackie talked a little bit about this when she said, in order to love God first, you need to fear him. And it's not this scary fear. It's the fear of, you are so majestic. You are so amazing. You are so magnificent that you are the God of the universe. And this, and his word says that he literally, that the earth bends at his will. That he spread the sky, the stars of the sky, with the span of his hand. And in Job 38 and 39, it says, I called the first waves forth. I can stretch the cords of Orion. That's God speaking. And you just, I mean, take some time tonight when you get home and look at the stars and just stare and just recognize his awness. He's absolutely amazing. So Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I fear you, a reverent fear. You are God, right? A commentary said this, and I absolutely love it. The fear of the Lord refers to our viewing him with the respect that he deserves. Fearing him with the respect that he deserves. It means living our lives in the light of what we know about him and what we know of him. It means holding him to the highest estimation. The highest estimation, and only then Proverbs teaches that we will discover knowledge and wisdom, which is him. We need to get a perspective of who he is sometimes. I want you guys to think on this. Revelation talks about Revelations 1:15, and if you want to just jot that down, you want to look at this, or we're going to start Revelation next Wednesday, I think, at Calvary, but it says one. John said, one like the Son of Man was clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs on his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. John is describing Jesus. And was his hair really wool? No. But that's all he could describe it as. This is all he can describe Jesus as because he was just taken back. He was like white, like wool. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like bronze, right? Refined in a furnace. Picture this. And his voice was like the roaring of many waters. Doesn't that just take you back, right? Take you back. And it takes us from that place, that beautiful picture in Proverbs, in the Passion of Christ, where you see just Jesus, just absolutely beautiful there. This picture of him taking our sins upon himself, that's beautiful. But he's also very much this right now in heaven with his voice like roaring waters. This is the same Jesus. And it puts our mind into that perspective. So when we recognize who God is, we're able to it brings us to a place of humbleness. It brings us to a place of loving him because we're like, whoa, you are big, right? Right? Okay, so to understand this love relationship with the maker of the universe, now we need to understand what it means. Now we need to understand who it is who loves you. We understand that, right? Remember, Paul was saying he wants us to know in our inner core being. He wants us to know in our inner core being the love of Christ and how wide and how deep and how long. And when we kind of get that, we kind of follow him. But when we really get it and we continue to seek it, we're continuing to follow him and press forward. Again, let me remind you that knowing God isn't like this pinnacle. I get it. I know him. You will never finish knowing him until you are in heaven. We have just tasted a drop of the ocean, ladies. Okay, my point too. Why do we love him, right? We love him because he first loved us. Do you get what this means? He loves us so much. For God so loved the world. He loves you so much. And I love, you're never going to look at that word so again. For God so loved the world. He so loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you, right? The God, right, who spread every single star in the sky so loves you more than your husband. He loves you more than your children love you. He loves you more than your boyfriend loves you. He loves you more than any friend. Nothing can take the place of his love for you. And we talked about relationships and putting your value in work and putting your value in family or even putting your value in your husband. No one will ever take the place of the love of God in your heart. No one will ever fill that void except for Jesus. And when you begin to understand what he did for you, that God sent his only son to die for you and us, for all of us, so that we could spend eternity with him is absolutely crazy, crazy love. It's just absolutely amazing. And at the time that we were in our sin, he loved us right where we are at. That's absolutely amazing. You know, there's an analogy, and I have to share this, because there's sometimes that we're like, oh, I don't know if God loves me. You know, I'm not really living up to the Proverbs 31 wife, okay? I'm not, anyway. you're like, I don't know, I'm not a good Christian. That's where the enemy likes to come in. I'm not really following him the way I should. Or, oh gosh, he doesn't even know the crazy things that go on in my head, right? He knows these things, and you're like, how does he even love me today, right? I just had a crazy murderous thought, right? It's true. But I love the analogy, and I don't know where I heard it, but it stuck with me. Jesus took the thorns on his head for all those things that you never should have thought, or all those things that you thought, right? He took the nails on his hands for all those things you never should have touched or never should have been with. He took the nails on his feet for all the places you never should have been there. Never should have been there. They ripped the beard off of his face for all the things you never should have said. And then they, you know, struck him in his side for all the things that you never should have ingested, right? And I love that analogy, because that is pure love. That's what he's done for us. And he has just loved us like crazy. So when we enter into that truth, in the depth of that love, you will see, and you will even see. Let me backtrack. You enter into that truth, you do realize that nothing can compare to the love that God has for you. No one can promise you all the promises of his word and never break them. No one can say, hey, I promise you this and I'll never break it. No one can actually say on this planet that they will never leave you or forsake you. No one can say that except for God. No one can say that that I will always provide for you. No one can say that except for Jesus, right? No relationship can ever, ever say that. I will never leave you or forsake you, not even your husband. And that just blows my mind. No one on this planet will ever forgive you every single time at that very second once you ask for forgiveness. No one except for Jesus. So no relationship can come close to Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. The love of money, the love of lust, the love of this or that, the love of being in love with love, right, will never satisfy in the worldly term. However, being in love with the definition of love, who is God, will always satisfy. Just kind of reminding you again of Ephesians, that Paul really wanted us to know and comprehend the breadth, the width, the height of his love, because he created you. He created you, and he loved us enough to lay down his life. And he didn't do it because we deserved it. He did it simply because we loved him, because he loved us. Sorry. He did it simply because he loved us. That just just brings you back, right? It just brings you back to saying, wow, amazing. And that's when you can just scream out that one worship song. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. Oh, my third point is when we love. And we'll go to Proverbs. I want you guys to turn to Proverbs 8:17. Proverbs 8:17. Get your pen out. All right, it says, and just to start this out, when we realize how much he loves us, he then gives us the opportunity to love him back. He's not going to force us, but he gives us the opportunity to love him back. And when we choose to love him back, this is what he tells us in Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me. I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. And in the Hebrew, diligently means sincerely and earnestly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Wisdom here is talking in the personification of Jesus. And he is saying, I want you to love me. That is my desire. I want you to love me. He doesn't say, hey, if you don't love me, then hey, I won't love you. Right? And that's what the world says. If you don't love me, I won't love you. Hey, we're out of love. Whatever. Right? You don't love him, he still loves you. If you choose not to love Christ, he still loves you. He's loved you since the moment that he fashioned you in your mother's womb. The moment that he knew you before you were even created. He knew your name. And he loves you. I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Some of your versions say that, right? Some of your versions say, I love them that love me, and those who seek me early will find me. And I'm like, are you serious? I'm not a morning person. I mean, and they're just kind of annoying, too, a little bit. And I'm trying to be a morning person, but, you know, don't talk to me before we have the coffee pot on. And there's one day, like, there was like just everything broke loose in our house because there was no coffee, and Johnny and I were like, wah! And the kids were like, what happened? You know, is the house burning? No, there's no coffee. There's no coffee. Don't talk to me. Don't even go to school. We're just there's no. This is not legalistic when it comes to him saying. This is not legalistic when it comes to him saying, seek me early. Although there is a really good point in this. As I started digging into it, seeking him first thing every day helps you to seek him early in every situation in the day. Every situation in the day. So I'm just going to ax out the morning part, and I'm going to say, seek him early in every situation. But when you're in Proverbs, early in the morning, you start seeking him early in every situation that goes on throughout the day. And you'll find that all throughout Proverbs. Also, a really practical way of seeking him early is seeking him early on in life. And I'm going to give you some statistics here. After the age of 35... the odds of a person becoming born again or deciding to follow Jesus is said to be 1 in 50,000. After the age of 45, the odds of somebody deciding to follow Jesus and really accepting them as their Lord are 1 in 300,000. After the age of 75, it's 1 in 700,000. Why? Because the more a person resists the Spirit, the harder his heart becomes. So the point is, seek the Lord early in the day, seek him early in every situation, and seek him early in life, And you can actually seek him now if you haven't already started. Seek him now. So we're going to go back to that word diligently really quick, because we're going to get really practical and then be able to push you on and encourage you as you leave this retreat. What does diligently seeking him looking like? What does that diligently seeking him look like? Sorry. Does it look like just going through the motions? Does it look like just going to church and getting spoon-fed? Does it look like just opening up your Bible every Sunday and Wednesday? Or does it mean putting in an effort to seek him and to read his word and to get to know him? When we love somebody, we put in the time to get to know him, to read his word, to know his character, to truly know him, not to just know of him. And I lived a long time just knowing of him and not really knowing him. When do we love him? This is one of my last points. When do we love him? We love him all the time. Even when we don't feel like it, even when your day is horrible, even when you've been fighting with your husband, even when your kids have gone astray, even when you are still single, you still love him. No matter how you feel, even when you're sick, even when you don't understand, even when you don't feel like it, you always love him because he always loves you. Even on your worst day, somebody said. Even on your worst day. Who else on earth, and I think I might have said this already, who else on earth besides Jesus is madly in love with you every single second of the day? I know Johnny isn't, but... because I can be, you know. But Jesus is in love with us every single moment of the day. He's in love with you. Who else on earth can say that? I will never leave you or forsake you. Who else can keep every single promise he's ever made to you? No one. That alone should motivate you to love him. That alone. Go back to that verse that says, those who seek me will find me, and underline, they will find me. Go back to the verse and underline, those who seek me will find me. Will. You know, finding him isn't always emotional. Sometimes you're thinking, well, I'm kind of feeling dry. I don't really feel God. I'm a Christian, but you don't have to feel anything. You don't always feel in love with your husband or feel like loving your kids that day, but you love them. Right? Emotionalism and feeling like it doesn't mean that you won't find him. You find him in his word the moment you open it up. Whether you feel anything or not, that's where he is. And he's in your heart. He resonates and he abides within you. And you just look at the stars. There he is. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When we love like this, we put forth an action. Go to Proverbs 22:17-21. This is, I think, almost done with our Proverbs here. Proverbs 22:17-21. And Solomon kind of changes his style here, because throughout Proverbs, he's been saying, don't do this, don't do that, do this. This is better than that, right? And it's just these little sections. But in 17 through 21, in Proverbs 17 through 21, he literally kind of continues that. And I love it. So underline it, because this is absolutely amazing. He's telling us how to diligently seek him. And he says this, incline your ear, meaning bow. Though some of us need to actually bow our hearts and our minds, bow your ear. It's an action. Bow your ear. Hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge. This is the Lord speaking. Apply your heart to my knowledge. This is all actions. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them, if you hold on to them, the words of the wise within you. if you keep the word of truth, God is saying, then it will be fixed on your lips. So keep them, hear them, read them, and they're automatically going to come out, right? In other words, if you stay in the word, if you read the word is what you live by, it's going to be the thing that comes out of your mouth too. It will be fixed on your lips, he says. It'll be fixed on your lips. And then it goes on to say, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today. This is the greatest part. He actually says this in the word, if you read it. I have instructed you today, right now, at this very moment. He's instructed us today, even you, and even you, and even you, and even you, all of us. He's instructed us today, saying at this very moment, and just let him speak to you about this, that you would trust in him. And this is what he says, I even speak to you today, that have I not written to you these excellent things? He's like, I've told you all here today in this seminar, and I've told you at this very single moment, have I not written to you these excellent things? He's talking about the word. He's talking about Proverbs. He's talking about the revelation of God. Isn't that amazing? Excellent things of counsel and knowledge. And the reason is that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth. I want you to know the reality of my word, he says, so that you may have an answer to those who send you. And I just love that. He's saying right now, I've made this known to you at this very single moment that you will know the reality of my word, the certainty of truth, so that when you go home out of this retreat and someone's like, why are you so happy? You know, why are you being so nice with your tongue? You know, why haven't you been rude to me all day? And you're like, well, Jesus told me at the retreat. He made my word certain. He made his word certain to my heart. And this truth, he gave me a reality of his truth and his love so that I can live these things out and I can be ready. When you love him, you just can't even help it. You can't even help it. Just like when you're in love with your husband and you're just like, oh my gosh, he's so amazing, you know, for the first 2 weeks. And then you... But God's love is so much deeper. So much deeper. So much deeper that you can talk about him constantly because his word is alive and active. Our final proverb here is Proverbs 3:3. And we are done after this proverb. Proverbs 3:3. Let love, and some of your variations can say mercy, okay, but love for the sake of this passage. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Here's your pearls, ladies. If you have your pearls on, just go ahead and give them a tug. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Let me just stop and say something that's worth thinking about. One of the most accurate places to measure the heartbeat is here. And maybe what God intends for this retreat is that we are checking our spiritual pulse. Right? Here it is. And I gotta share this commentary. I think it's from Matthew Henry or someone in Blue Letter Bible. he says this. Continual regard for God's promises and precepts. Retain them. Don't forfeit them. Live up to them and preserve my interest in them. Do not forget these, but live upon them and take the comfort of them. He's talking about his word. Bind them around thy neck as the most graceful ornament. right? It is the greatest honor that we are capable of in this world to have an interest in the mercy, in the love, in the truth of God. Bind them around thy neck. Write them on the tablet of thy heart. And that's where our pearls lay. Nothing else. He could have chose earrings, or he could have chose shoes, which have been great, right? But he chose an ornament around the neck. There is nothing closer to your heart. And there is nothing that you have to choose. It's something you have to choose to put on every day. You have to choose to put these on. You have to choose to spend time in his word and then wrap them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Seek him and you will find him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this retreat. We thank you, Lord, for showing us and giving them the gift of your word. And you say, Lord, take these things that I have shown you today and bind them around your neck. Actively put them on every day. Actively read my word every day. That's what you tell us to do, Father. So we ask, Lord, that you would just give us that desire to know you. To know you by reading your word, to know you by listening to your instruction, because you know what's good for us. And you want our lives to glorify you, and you want us to spread your love. And so, Lord, help us to put those pearls on. Help us to put on the truth. And we ask this in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.